This interview is for information only and should not be considered as investment advice or a recommendation to buy shares in the company featured. Welcome to this Stockbox interview. Malcolm Pelley, the co-founder and executive chairman of Coincilium, is talking to us today on Stockbox. How are you, Malcolm? Good to have you back, and so soon as well.
Hi, Mark. I'm fine. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you, Malcolm. So it was only about a week ago since we last spoke, and things have changed. You've got a brand new website. You were complaining, well, not complaining, but we were commenting on the share price of Coincilium last time. Well, it's changed a bit, hasn't it? What's going on?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if you're my genie, you see, because if I make a wish then, and, you know, it comes true, then that's it. So I couldn't be happier with the performance of the share price. Certainly, it took something to get into action. I think if you remember the conversation I said, it was that I compared it to sort of everyone waiting for the bus to leave but doesn't want to get on the bus until it starts moving out the station or the train, you know what I mean? It's kind of one of those things where we have a lot of shareholders have bought into the stock and they follow us and they see what we're doing and they're scratching their heads to say, why isn't this moving? Of course, it takes new investors to come in and new shareholders to look at it with fresh eyes to actually see what is right in front of them, which is really what we've been doing for the last 6 months or so. Which is the reposition of the company as a blockchain, crypto finance, open finance venture builder. And that has been our sort of mantra for the last 6 months, has been working. And of course, we launched the website last week, so people can now see that this new strategy and this new sort of direction is reflected in what we're doing. And that's really... that's really key to what's happening here. So yes, the share price has certainly started to respond. I'm not sure if we're in the early stages of this kind of recognition of where the value is and what we're doing. And of course, I think that we hit the spot with the direction we're going in with non-fungible tokens, NFTs. Mm-hmm. That comes under open finance as well, that banner. Mm. But of course, when people start digging into that and start seeing the potential that it has and the growth in this area, then the news that we bring out and we anticipate to bring out near to medium term is going to resonate because they're going to see exactly what we're doing in this space and why that is so relevant. So I hope that answered your question, if that was a question.
Yeah, absolutely, Malcolm. Yeah, and of course, you do have the new website and you mentioned the new strategy. Do you want to give us a sort of an overview of this strategy? You know, you've got this kind of three-pillar approach.
Yeah. So Coincilium started off its life as an investor in early stage seed investing in startups, blockchain startups. Mm. We've since announced in 2020 that we, in the summer of 2020, that we were carrying out a strategic review to change the direction of the business from being a passive investor or an accelerator of startups to actually building our own ventures. So we're investing in ourselves, in our own projects, because we've got all the connection skills and expertise to do this. And we understand the sector as well as anyone else does. But with the emergence of DeFi, open finance and NFTs all sort of coming at the same time, we really wanted to focus on this entire area. And rather than waiting for the right project to come along to invest in, we say, well, we know exactly what needs to be done and what where the opportunities are. So let's deploy some resources and develop them ourselves. Our first project out of the traps was an NFT, a non-fungible token project, which is focused on to create a crypto stamp in partnership with the Gibraltar Philatelic Bureau and the Gibraltar government's issuing a stamp, and we will be creating a digital counterpart to that stamp, which is going to be a collectible, and that's in partnership with Red Fox Labs in Vietnam. But I really stress this every time I speak to people. This is the first project. We want to get this off the ground and get it away and just see how this works and how we do with it. But we've, you know, the applications for non-fungible tokens, it covers a lot of sectors, broader sectors in collectibles and even beyond collectibles in financial digitization and financial assets as well. So there's lots of things that can be done there. And that's really, you know, going to be our focus going forward. We'll be generating revenues from these projects because non-fungible tokens are sold and traded as in collectibles. And we will be sort of in that, in part of that ecosystem that's creating the revenue. So either be through creating the technology, licensing it, or building marketplaces where these tokens will actively trade. You know, this is the objective of this is to create revenues from this. And you don't have to do too much research on NFTs to see how the revenues and how that market is growing, is burgeoning. It's really quite impressive. Mm.
And it's very timely as well, isn't it, Malcolm? What with everything that's going on in crypto at the moment, with Bitcoin hitting over 50,000, and even the person who's very much against the old crypto, Peter Schiff, is actually now admitting that it can go to 100,000 after very obviously saying a couple of years ago it's never going to get there. So it all seems very timely, and perhaps Coincilium's finally on the verge of a major breakout after all these years of laying the foundation. So what does the roadmap look like for this year?
Well, Peter Schiff is he's a bit of a disappointment to me. I sound like his father. I'm not that much older than him, but you know, he was someone I followed very closely in the gold space, and I really, really respect his views on economics, and he made a really good case for the for gold and has done significantly. But you know, I think there's two approaches you can take. You either, you know, if you're a competitor, you either sort of don't say anything about your competitors, or you say good things. And when you start knocking the competition, it generally implies that you can't say the right things about your product, if you see what I mean. Mm. So if you can't say good things about gold, the only thing you can do is knock what is effectively supposed to be competing with gold. Then, you know, I think that's really where, you know, he falls down. That said, I'm a big advocate of gold. I think it's great. You know, anything that sort of gives a hedge against the fiat currencies is fine. Gold physical in its physical format is the only gold I would consider as an investment. I wouldn't consider paper gold or ETFs as an investment. And likewise, you know, when I buy Bitcoin, or we actually hold Bitcoin. We don't hold sort of the equivalent of paper Bitcoin, no sort of surrogates of Bitcoin or any proxies. You have to have it, you have to have the wallet, you have to have the keys, and you have to know that you own it, otherwise it can be rehypothecated. So that's just something to throw in there. So our roadmap is kind of predicated on the growth in open finance, crypto finance, DeFi. Now, and also with NFTs as well. I'm using a lot of these terms, and I think that you know, we have to be sort of clear about what we mean by all these things. So we use the term very kind of specifically open finance because it covers a lot of things. It pretty much covers everything we're doing, even to an extent NFTs, non-fungible tokens, because you know, the term DeFi, as in decentralized finance, is very specific to a kind of a proposition where the activities go on a sort of a decentralized platform, and there's some regulatory kind of considerations that you have to be aware of when you're talking in pure DeFi terms, which we are very conscious of. And the reality is that there's no real, the only truly decentralized proposition in this space is Bitcoin. Every other token, coin, project has an element of centralization to it. Possibly Litecoin or some of the other early players, but even if you look at Ethereum, there's a management structure of an overall business that is associated with it. And if you're actually talking about the legal entity that owns the kind of the blockchain, then that's a foundation. So that there is some kind of points of centralization. These don't mean much in practical terms, but from a regulatory perspective, they are very significant. So we always use the term, well, we will be evolving this term of open finance to cover DeFi and to cover maybe more centralized sort of propositions, which could be structurally regulated services. So it's not sort of a somewhere where we're just, we are going to be purely looking at decentralized finance. We're going to be looking at this new way, how to deploy the technology in the most effective, efficient way to offer services that are going to be utilized. They're not going to come into conflict with any regulation that's down the line. So again, I think what you're going to see in the future is the term open finance, certainly in relation to the stuff we're doing, becoming more of a general term rather than DeFi.
Okay. And I know last time we spoke about the treasury, of course, that will have changed yet again for the better, which gives you a lot of firepower there in the background. Do you see, and what's your opinion on Bitcoin? Do you see it just going to 100,000?
Why stop there? our treasury, I was speaking to somebody before, and perhaps we need to be clear what we talk about when we talk about treasury. It's our reserves. We own a lot of cryptocurrencies. Mostly now we've changed out of some of the less kind of, I'm going to say speculative, but you know, so we've gone into more mainstream currencies that are more liquid and have more growth potential. Mm-hmm. So we've built up this position over the last 2 years, but it's only become meaningful since the market changed in the middle of last year. So we've announced, I think we've made four announcements on the performance of our treasury reserves. I think August last year was $575,000, and as of February it was $2 million. Just if we sat there and didn't do anything with it, it would have gone up by about 20%. If you look at the difference in the price of Bitcoin and Ethereum now to before, I mean, I say 20, that's arbitrary. It could be 15. But ultimately, if you just did it pro rata, but of course we are actively managing this, and you know, we've got a combined strategy of ensuring risk mitigation and also maximizing growth. So we have various kind of models working there. But yes, it's looking very strong. We think it will go from strength to strength. There will be times when Bitcoin takes the leads. There will be time when Ethereum takes the leads and that lead. And there will be times when other tokens that really outperform, and we need to sort of top slice them and put them into Ethereum for a while. Then if they pull back, we'll go back into them. So you know, it's an actively managed process, and it gives us tremendous resilience. And going back to your original question on the price of Bitcoin, I can't see anything as things stand that would stand in the way of certainly the top cryptos going from strength to strength. The wave is now become sort of a tidal wave, and the amount of money that's going into Bitcoin is phenomenal. From corporates looking to diversify some of their own treasury to funds, to retail investors putting 250 quid in. You know, it is all awesome to actually watch the way that this is moving, and it's been a long time coming.
Great. Okay, well, thank you very much, Malcolm, for that update. That's Malcolm Pallet there, the co-founder and executive chairman at Coincilium. Thank you, Malcolm.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Stockbox interview. For more information, interviews and videos, visit our website at stockboxmedia.com or give us a follow on Twitter by searching at Stockbox Media.